Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out episode 641. Unfortunately, superstar Billy Graham passed away this week at the age of 79. He was one of the most influential pro wrestlers and one of the best heels in wrestling history. He was incredible at riling the fans up with his Muhammad Ali-esque promos, where he'd say stuff like, "I eat T-bone steaks, I live barbell plates, I'm sweeter than a German chocolate cake, I'm the reflection of perfection, the number one selection, the women's pet, the men's regret, where what you see is what you get, and what you don't see is better yet. I'm the man of the hour, the one with the power, too sweet to be sour. I'm superstar Billy Graham," etc., like that stuff. If you were an early listener of Marking Out, I used to do my intro modeled after him, and I'd be like, "You know, people come to me, they say, who are you and why are you here? I say, listen up and let me, oh yeah, I am the B to the G." And then I would go into other lines that would rhyme and end it with, "And that makes me awesome as always." And these days it's just shortened to "awesome as always." But I think it's safe to say without superstar Billy Graham, wrestling looks a heck of a lot different. Guys like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair drew inspiration from him. I'm sure Stone Cold Steve Austin did. And if you go back and watch his matches and his promos, you'll probably be able to pick out wrestlers that he went on to inspire. If you've never seen a match of his, go to Peacock. Go to WWE Network. YouTube, you can look him up on all these different platforms. You can see matches against Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, Harley Race, Dusty Rhodes, to name a few, which one of those matches is super important in today's landscape because it's what Cody Rhodes based the whole "finish the story" on. Dusty Rhodes fought Billy Graham at Madison Square Garden in 1977 for the WWF Championship, and Dusty won via countout. Dusty thought he won the title. The crowd went nuts. He put it around his waist. And then the announcer was like, "No, it was count out. Billy Graham is still the champion." And the fans, obviously, they lost their minds. But it led to a Texas death match the next month, which Billy Graham would go on to retain the championship. But the rest is history. And for that reason, I thought it would have been cool if Billy Graham was in the crowd or something should Cody win the championship at Madison Square Garden. So it's unfortunate that something like that can't happen now. But it's literally the finish, the story with Cody. I got to meet Billy Graham briefly, very briefly, before WrestleMania 20 in the hotel food court. He was inducted the night before to the WWE Hall of Fame. But Dave and I then went and met him in 2009 at an independent wrestling show. And then we got to meet him again in 2013. And I got to talk to him on and off for pretty much hours while he was signing. And that was really cool. And I was so nervous to ask him for a bumper because he's literally like the pinnacle of pro wrestling to me. But he was just so happy to do it. And I think when you hear the bumper, you can hear how happy he was, obviously, to do that for us. And I thought that was so cool because he didn't have to do that. But on behalf of all of us, we'd like to offer up our condolences to his family, his friends, and all the fans around the world. And we'd like to pay tribute to superstar Billy Graham with a 10-bell salute.
This is Mark. Marking Out.
Pro Wrestling Talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all.
Follow on Twitter.
Pro Wrestling Talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all.
Marking Out.
Pro Wrestling Talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all.
Spreading like fisting.
Pro Wrestling Talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all.
We're marking out.
Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome back, everybody, to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 641, and we thank you for listening to this online listening experience in podcast form. Several ways that you can listen to this. You can listen to this at markingout.com. You can listen to this on Spotify, on Stitcher Radio. For some reason, Apple Music still doesn't work. I don't know why. I don't know what the issue is. As I said before, people just keep pointing fingers back and forth at each other, and no one's taking responsibility for it. So Apple, whatever our server is, get your act together here. Come on. Also, social media-wise, facebook.com/markingout, twitter.com/markingout, YouTube and instagram.com/markingout11, and on TikTok at markingout. I don't know. I'm too much of a boomer. I don't know what TikTok is. But also, we have merchandise, prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Thank you for everybody for picking up merchandise. We greatly appreciate that. My name is Chris. You can follow me on Twitter at chrissweendog. It's a really strange show this week because, as you heard in the opening of the show, Brandon was here. You can follow him on Twitter at BTTG161. But we're not all recording together this week as Brandon is in Florida. Dave is, helping the youth of the world moving on in their careers. And I'm just here finding time. So it's not going to be a full-length show. It's not going to be SmackDown. It's not going to be NXT. You know, Brandon's not going to go back and recap his favorite NXT UKs of the past. That was a joke. But it's just going to be me for most of it. You know, Brandon's going to be here for Raw. You know, Dave was at Creative Pro Wrestling this past weekend for Creative Pro Homecoming. So I hope he recorded the segment I asked him to do, because if he did, I'll just put it in right now.
That is right. It is Dave, the Rave, and I am here to tell you about Cap Homecoming. Creative Pro Wrestling Homecoming took place this past weekend. Myself and Sal went to go check it out because it was MJF's homecoming. Before we went to the event, we checked out Lucharitos, incredible burritos and tacos. Check it out in Melville, New York. But onto the card. Some of the big things that took place was the Cap Mayhem Metal title was on the line as Evil Kip defended against the Sweeper. It was a lumberjack match. Everybody got involved, but the Sweeper coming out as the winner, who has your new Mayhem Metal champion. It was awesome. Also, you had the Cap TV title on the line. Bobby Orlando successfully defending against Eric James. This match was awesome. Something else, you had the Cap Tag Team title on the line in a three-way match as the Midlife Express successfully defended against Even Stevens and VBU. After this, you had Leo Sparrow alongside GKM picking up the victory over Nick Robies, and let me tell you, Leo Sparrow, he comes out there and he means business. He is tossing spinach all over the crowd. He is getting that heat. But after the match, he gets onto the mic and he starts running his mouth. He starts talking the dirt. He starts saying that he's better than you and you know it. And cue the music. MJF comes out to a standing ovation. He comes out with the pyro, comes out with the scarf, comes out with the AEW World Championship. He goes out there, hits the ring, and not only did he hit the ring, he hit that mic. And once he got on the mic, he left it all out there. He left it up to the crowd to determine what he should do next. And of course, it was determined that MJF should take on Leo Sparrow right there, right then. MJF picked up the victory over Leo Sparrow, but I gotta say, This was not a squash match. This was actually back and forth action. It was a lot of fun. GKM got involved many times during this, but it was not successful as MJF was your winner. After this, you had Ravens Rules Street Fight. Bronson picked up the victory over TJ Crawford. In addition to this, Angelina Love and Notorious Mimi picked up the victory over Ava Everett and Becca. And then in your main event, the cap title was on the line as Bryce Donovan successfully defeated Vargas. Overall, Creator Pro Wrestling was an amazing event. It always is so much fun to go there, to see the wrestlers, to meet the wrestlers, to just get close to pro wrestling. And if you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out Create a Pro Wrestling. They are always putting on events on Long Island. Do not miss out. Go check them out. But that being said, let's move on with the show.
And if you didn't, that was just a bunch of blank audio. But if you did, thank you, Dave, for doing that for me. I greatly appreciate it. And so continuing on, it's just been another week of lacrosse on Long Island for me. Nothing special, nothing magical. We did celebrate Mother's Day, so happy belated to all those mothers out there who are, you're great. You're all great. And I celebrated my sister's house with my sisters and my wife and went to my in-laws in the morning. And then we just came back and chilled and I made ribs because I make some serious ribs. I braise them in some sort of soda, either Dr. Pepper or Pepsi. Coca-Cola, I should say, because Pepsi stinks. You heard that right, punk. So I braised them and then put them on the grill. We had some steaks, too, and it was just a nice little evening there. But it's just been work all this week and getting to the end of lacrosse season. And now it's the time of the year where it's like graduations and also like spring concerts. And I did a spring concert last night. We live stream them and I just take audio off of my camera. And these kids did a version of SpongeBob SquarePants theme that I wasn't really that favorable for. So that's it. Thanks to Dave for recording that little spot right there about Creator Pro Homecoming. If you did, if you didn't. I think it's on the MajorPod Twitch, so go check that out. So it'll be there. I think it's going to be on Premier Streaming Network as well. Rock and roll, rock on London, rock on Chicago, and let's get to Brandon, who was going to talk about Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Nitro,
which kicked off with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they spoke about, Sami spoke about Night of Champions, and how they'll be defending the titles against Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens, on the other hand, kind of just looked maybe annoyed during this segment, but the Judgment Day interrupted, and Kevin Owens challenged them to a fight because he's sick of the bloodline. And Sami Zayn tried to defuse that. Damian Priest wanted to fight. Finn Balor kind of calmed the situation down, but he does want a title shot. And then Sami Zayn got people to heavily boo Dominic even before he started speaking, which I thought was great. Damian Priest in the end ended up clocking Sami Zayn. Rhea Ripley clocked Kevin Owens. And then the Judgment Day pounced on Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn grabbed a chair and then they ran off. First match of Monday Night Raw saw Nakamura picking up the victory over The Miz, which it's pretty crazy to think about that was Nakamura's first singles match on Monday Night Raw. I thought it was a good match. Not super one-sided, but I never thought that The Miz was going to win. I did think some good spots. Miz sold that wheel kick that Nakamura does really well. But the near finish for Miz with Nakamura's foot on the rope, I thought was really, really well done. After that, we had a number one contender battle royal to see who will be facing Gunther at Night of Champions. It was won by Mustafa Ali. Backstage, when Imperium was walking to the ringside area, Akira Tozawa walked up and saw Imperium, got scared, like last week with Rhea Ripley.
And he ended up just walking off, and I thought that was really funny, and I hope that they keep doing segments with him like that. But we also saw a promo from Gunther to introduce himself, and I thought that was good. Maximum Male Models in this match fought with Alpha Academy, and I feel like they should probably be on the same page, but Maxine might be done with them, it seems. She seemed like she was cheering on Otis and Chad Gable over the models themselves, so I thought that was weird. But we saw Von Wagner eliminate Dolph Ziggler, and then JD McDonagh beat the absolute heck out of Dolph Ziggler. And then he had a video promo later on to further introduce him to Monday Night Raw. Kathy Kelly interviewed him and asked why he took out Dolph Ziggler, and he basically just simply said it was a statement. I'm here on Monday Night Raw. But in regards to the actual match, I think that even though Alpha Academy didn't win, I still think they got a lot of time in this match to shine. Bronson Reed was somebody else who got a lot of time to shine. He was ganged up on. And, I mean, he took back control of that situation. But fans were pretty behind Matt Riddle. Gunther at one point made Imperium attack Matt Riddle. He ended up getting eliminated by Bronson Reed. And Bronson Reed got Ricochet up on his shoulders on the apron when Mustafa Ali dropkicked them off the apron to win the match. I thought the final segment of that match, the match itself, I thought was decently laid out. But the final of the Battle Royal, I thought, was extremely well done. Though even the setup to why Ricochet was on Bronson Reed's shoulders, I thought was very, very good. But Mustafa Ali had a huge pyro display after winning, which was super bizarre. It's as if he was Cody Rhodes. I don't know where that pyro came from, but he's going on to Night of Champions to face Gunther. And later on, Mustafa Ali gave Alpha Academy some positive advice. And he walked away, walked into Gunther, who congratulated him, and basically said, it's a shame because you're going all the way to Saudi Arabia to lose to me. And Ali was like, well, it's more so that you're going all the way to Saudi Arabia to lose to me. So I think that's a strong statement for Mustafa Ali. He's on a win streak. I don't think he's going to win in Saudi Arabia, but I think it's going to be a fun match. After that, Becky Lynch came out and said that she's been going through some stuff and that she turned to Trish Stratus and she turned to Lita for help. She put Lita over big time, but she said that Trish Stratus, the only reason why she came back was to help herself. Ultimately, this promo was just her challenging Trish Stratus to a match at Night of Champions. So, and then next week we have a contract signing. So I think the match is obviously going to happen, and I'm looking forward to that now. We saw Rhea Ripley interviewed, and Natalya interrupted it, and Rhea basically told her to stop acting like she went to the ring last week to save Dana Brooke. She clearly just wants the title. And she followed that up with a threat to Natalya about interrupting her again. That leads into Dominic facing Xavier Woods. Dominic, before the match, cuts a promo twice in one night that he got booed on the mic. And I thought that was really cool. Xavier Woods ended up speaking to Dominic. He mentioned not having the backup right now, right then, which made it seem like maybe Kofi or Big E was going to show up, but that didn't happen. But the heat that Dominic got during the match, I thought it was just, it's always so incredible. I would love to see him have that World Heavyweight Championship with that heat. But Rhea Ripley did the same thing last week by pulling Dominic out of the way of Xavier Woods' elbow drop. And he recovered briefly from that. But behind the referee's back, Rhea Ripley did a cheap shot, and Dominic was able to pin him after that. So that continues that, I guess. But that's 2-0 for Xavier Woods over Dominic. Next up, after that, Inda Shear picked up the victory over some enhancement talent. I think they said Drake Thompson and somebody else, maybe LeVar Barbie or something. But it was an obvious showcase match for Inda Shear. Jinder Mahal got on commentary afterwards and said that Monday Night Raw belongs to them. With Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn as tag team champions right now, I don't really think so, but I mean, just like the Viking Raiders, I hope they get built up because I like Inda Shear as a team. So, I mean, I like them solo too, but clearly they weren't doing anything with them. After that, Cody Rhodes came out and he brought up how he knew the arena. They were in North Carolina. It's the birthplace of Starrcade. That sounded weird to me. I don't know why. But it was the birthplace of Starrcade. And then he switched to Brock Lesnar not being there. He told the fable of the frog and the scorpion and likened it to Brock Lesnar, which I thought was very, very good. I like fables like that, and it was relatable because you can understand everything behind it and you can understand how it's related to Brock and how it's related to Cody in this. And then Cody Rhodes obviously accepted Brock Lesnar's challenge, and he said that Brock is probably better than 99% of the people who enter that ring. But he also said that Brock will need to step aside because he's in the way, I guess, to finish the story. Again, something that was very well done. After that, backstage, Zoe Stark was talking to Nikki Cross about winning last week. She called her a freak. Candice LeRae interrupted and said that they could settle it in the ring. Zoe Stark accepted that and we're having that match set for next week. Candice LeRae, by the way, playable in 2K23 for free. So I'm glad that 2K is doing that. Earlier in the night, we saw Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green arguing with Adam Pearce and Raquel Rodriguez because they were supposed to have the tag team championship match. Liv Morgan was unfortunately injured on SmackDown, so she wasn't medically cleared to compete. And it's apparently a shoot injury. So that's unfortunate. But Raquel Rodriguez still pitched facing Chelsea Green in a singles match. She was hesitant to accept that. But we go on to see Raquel defeat Chelsea Green. But Chelsea, I think, controlled a majority of this match. But as soon as Raquel was able to turn that around, Chelsea lost all the control. And she turned it around with those three fallaway slams in a row. So I thought this was a good match. After that, Raquel Rodriguez was up on the entrance ramp celebrating her victory. And the horsewomen attacked Raquel Rodriguez out of nowhere. And Ronda Rousey said that she'll catch the same exact beating every single week that she doesn't accept a challenge to defend the tag team titles with or without Liv Morgan. And I think that was good for the horsewomen. I feel like because of Liv Morgan's injury, we might see Raquel Rodriguez step up and say, yeah, of course, I'll do that. And then we'll see Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler win the tag team titles. I'll be completely fine with that. This gives Ronda Rousey something outside of the spotlight, the main event, and it gives Shayna Baszler spotlight. So I think that's good. A lot of people complained about that. I'm fine with that. She's not in the main event. Throughout the night, though, they aired an interview and like a video package from Seth Rollins and Corey Graves. I feel like it's a running theme with me reviewing Monday Night Raw. This was very well done. And I think it pushes Seth Rollins to be that winner of the World Heavyweight Championship. They're going to air more next week. So leading into Night of Champions, he's going to be built up like a champion. And something cool that the WWE, the wrestling stats account pointed out, Seth Rollins, since the formation of WWE in 1963, no one in history has been involved in three different matches to crown three different inaugural champions while on the WWE roster, and that's Seth Rollins. NXT, he was the inaugural NXT champion. He was in the match for the inaugural Universal Championship and now the World Heavyweight Championship. And I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if they'll mention that or what, but I think that's a cool stat. Earlier on in the night, we saw Gunther approach Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and say that he didn't appreciate the disrespect that they showed towards Imperium last week. Kevin Owens, pissed off, said they'll find a partner and face Imperium next week. From there, we also see later on, Gunther shakes hands with Paul Heyman, who had a visitor pass. How he got it, I don't know, but he had the visitor pass. And I like that they had that on his cell phone because we just had the draft. It's supposed to be Raw's Raw, SmackDown is SmackDown. So I'm happy we saw that at least. But it leads to the main event, where the Judgment Day picked up the victory over Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Midway through the match, we saw Finn Balor call out Dominic and Rhea Ripley. And I think much like that spot with Xavier Woods earlier in the night, I thought we were going to see a big return or something like that here. But Dominic and Rhea Ripley ended up getting booted from ringside. Xavier Woods showed up. He attacked Dominic. I don't know if he's getting written into the Imperium versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn story. But he attacked Dominic and they brawled to the back. We also saw Paul Heyman come out. And a lot happened in that minute. We saw Paul happen to be on the cell phone. And later on, we saw Imperium come out and almost cause that distraction needed to have the Judgment Day win. But Sami Zayn kept going. Not far after that, we saw Imperium get up on the apron, though. And Kevin Owens went after them. Damian Priest took out Kevin Owens. And then Imperium distracted the referee. Gunther held Sami Zayn's leg, and Finn Balor hit that coup de grace to win. I thought maybe we would see, even though he left earlier in the night, I thought maybe we would see JD McDonagh join the Judgment Day. But I think everything with Paul Heyman and Imperium and their understanding with the Judgment Day, it worked for this segment, especially for the ending of that match. We already know that the Judgment Day have the understanding with the Bloodline. So now it's just the Bloodline can have an understanding with anybody. But that's Monday Night Raw. I liked this episode a lot. As for NXT, as for SmackDown, normally I would be doing it. Obviously Dave would be doing it as well, but I'm going away on vacation. It is pretty late, so that's why my voice is the way it is. But I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. And now I'm going to take a quick little break. And I won't be right back, but Chris will be right back here on Marking Out.
Okay, this is a superstar, Billy Graham, the man of the hour, the man with power, and you're listening to Marking Out. And everybody, please mark out one more time. All right.
We're back here, Marking Out, pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans. We got to get to the pro wrestling portion because that's really all I watched this week. You know, it's been busy. I haven't really had that much time to do a lot, watch a lot of wrestling. We're going to go back to last Friday. Or was it Saturday? I don't know. The NBA playoffs have been screwing everything up. Before we get to the huge AEW announcement that happened this week, and that's AEW Rampage from last week in Detroit. Ding! As you can hear, my computer's going off with a bunch of text messages. I should probably silence that. But let's talk about Rampage from last week. Solid hour of action. You start off the show with the Acclaimed getting the victory over the Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian. Nice little match here. Everybody got their stuff in. And, you know, as expected, the Acclaimed goes over because they're still super over. Tony Storm picks up a victory over Allison Kay. I know they mentioned they saw her, I think, in 2019 on AEW programming. We see her again. I like the fact that they highlighted that she is a very decorated female wrestler. You know, Impact Knockouts champion, Knockouts Tag champion. She held gold in NWA as well. And I thought this match was great. Both of them got their offense in, but it was Toni Storm, as expected, picking up the victory here. You had Kyle Fletcher of Aussie Open picking up the victory over Action Andretti. You know, last week we saw him attack Orange Cassidy. So just a nice, for a guy that's a tag team wrestler that we don't see wrestle that much in singles competition, it was a nice highlight spot. It was good to put Action Andretti in a spotlight like this too. So I'm about it. You did have the Hardys come into the ring for promo, talking about how, you know, they are now no longer of this underneath contracts of the firm. But then you had the Guns come out. And you saw a promo earlier in the night with Ego saying he needed some help with something. So Ethan Page comes out with them and saying, you know, they want to face the Hardys. And the Hardys accepted the challenge. But if they win, they now get the contract of Ethan Page. So I think we all know that the Hardys are going to beat the Guns, and now Ethan Page is going to be working with the Hardys. But that might be a good thing. Maybe that's it'll turn him babyface or something like that, because he was, you know, he was having fun with the Hardys when they were underneath the Matt Hardy, especially because when he was underneath the contract of the firm. So we'll see where that goes from there. And in your main event, you had this new team of the Mogul Embassy, Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, picking up the victory over Johnny Ace. Johnny Ace, you know what it is? I wrote down notes today, and I have terrible handwriting. It's the members of the Dark Order, Johnny Silver, Alex Reynolds, picking up a tag team victory here. I like the team of Swerve and Brian Cage. There's a lot to them. They're high-flying guys. You know, Brian Cage is beast, but it was, you know, Mogul Embassy picking up the victory here. Post-match, you had the Gates of Agony run down, and then you have Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee running down. So maybe you'll see a big four-man match coming up or something to that nature. So all in all, great hour of television on AEW Rampage. Now, I feel like it's like every other week we hear it. Tony Khan's got a big announcement. This one was actually big, and this was huge, and this may have been, I know people are saying, no, it wasn't the biggest announcement in AEW history, but I think it is. They had the upfronts this week. You know what? I really could care less what these upfronts are. I guess it should have just been saying, hey, this is what's coming up into coming up into the fall season. But unfortunately, there's a writer's strike right now, so I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot coming up in the fall season. But one thing we will be seeing is a lot more wrestling coming from All Elite Wrestling, as it was announced that, as rumored, AEW Collision will be airing live on Saturday nights between 8 and 10 o'clock. They mentioned people like Samoa Joe, Thunder Rosa is going to be on there. And it's going to be live every single week. Tony Khan on Dynamite this week did mention all the upcoming dates for it. They're doing a big loop through Canada. And then I think it was July 22nd is going to be at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. So, cool. I'm about this. You know, there was a time, I want to say maybe 6-7 years ago, where there wasn't this much wrestling on television. And we're like, oh man, all we have to watch is WWE, that's it. You know, Ring of Honor is really nothing. But now we get wrestling almost every single day of the week. And especially if there's going to be like a premium live event on a Sunday or a pay-per-view on a Sunday for, you know, Impact or, you know, any of those other promotions. And the abundance, too, of wrestling that's out there. So this just gives wrestling fans more wrestling to watch. And if you don't like the fact that they're, if you don't like AEW, then don't watch it. I, for one, I don't really go out that much on Saturday nights, because, you know, I work on the weekends. So to come home from work and to sit down and watch 2 hours of wrestling, I'm about it. I know what people are going to say. Oh, my God, they ripped off the Nitro logo. They ripped off the Monday Night Nitro logo. Fine, that's cool. They're paying homage to a brand and a show that has been on TNT beforehand. I like it. Also, too, they showed, like, the theme. It kind of had that, like spaceship background to it with, like, all metal and stuff like that to remind me, like, the TBS, like, Saturday Night Wrestling from WCW, which I like, too. So it's, like, paying homage to it. Again, you know, in 2 years, if Collision's still happening, they might change it like they did with the all the theming and stuff like that for Dynamite. I'm about it. It's gonna also give, you know, they're mentioning, you know, Miro's gonna be on here, and Samoa Joe, and Thunder Rosa. So now, AEW had 2 hours, 3 hours of programming. Now you can see more talent. You know, we talk about it a lot, that AEW has a very big roster and only 2-3 hours to really fill out programming. So not everybody's going to get on that show. Now it's going to give more talent the opportunity to get on TV, to be seen. I know everyone's talking about, oh yeah, they're splitting it because of CM Punk and, you know, the Thunder Rosa doesn't get it wrong with half the women's roster and stuff like that, but whatever. I don't care. There's more wrestling. There's going to be more wrestling to watch. I know there's reports now that CM Punk was supposed to be on all, like, the Collision posters and everything like that, but he was taken off. So we'll see where it goes. They might have just taken him off because they want the big surprise, even though it's really not a big surprise if CM Punk comes back, because it's been rumored since this show has, you know, has launched. So, hey, we're getting AEW Collision a month out from yesterday. I'm recording on the 18th, so June 17th, 8 p.m. I plan on sitting on my butts and having a cold one and watching some professional wrestling on a Saturday night. So thumbs up to AEW. Congratulations for all that they've done in the past 4 years and giving wrestling fans more wrestling to watch, because that was always, and I said it 2 seconds ago, that was always a topic. There's no wrestling to watch. All we have to watch is WWE. Now there's so much out there. And if you don't like the name, if you don't like AEW, then just don't watch it. Again, plenty of wrestling out there. But let's get on to AEW Dynamite from this week in Austin, Texas. You started off with a Wardlow promo. Wardlow comes out, calls out Christian Cage, but Christian Cage comes out with Luchasaurus, and Wardlow gets beat up. Gets beat up real bad. He gets thrown through a table. He gets a ladder. He gets a kill switch on a ladder. Then later in the night, Wardlow had a backstage promo, which sets up a ladder match at Double or Nothing for the TNT Championship. They have to have, in my opinion, they have to have Wardlow win this match. I know Christian Cage has Luchasaurus by his side, kind of essentially as his heater, but they have to, like, they can't do these starts and stops anymore with Wardlow. This has to be a very big and very decisive win for Wardlow. After this, though, you did have your first match of the night in tag team action, as Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin picked up the victory over Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. I thought this match was fun. I thought this match was a very good match to start off the action for the night. Two of your hottest talents in Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. I like the Stun Dog Millionaire into the Code Red. And Darby Allin sends a message to MJF by winning the match with a side headlock takeover. As if you remember back to Darby's match with MJF, I think it was a year and a half ago. Same thing that he said, I can beat you with a side headlock takeover. So sending that message, I thought commentary did a good job of explaining that as he was doing that. So I'm all about it. But this was not the last we'd see of either Darby Allin or Orange Cassidy this night. Let's talk about Orange Cassidy first, as he had several backstage promos. First, we were Renee Paquette saying that, you know, she was talking about Kyle Fletcher. He's like, yeah, sure, put it, everybody. Anybody wants a shot, I'll put the title up on the line in a very Orange Cassidy style promo. Later in the night there, Renee has another backstage promo with Orange Cassidy saying that 20 people wanted a shot at the title, and said, okay, so, you know, we're in Vegas. It's, you know, Blackjack's 20, I'm 1, so let's just have a Blackjack Battle Royal. And that's for Double or Nothing. So, cool. I like this. I've been speaking about it for months. And since Orange Cassidy's had the international championship, that he has been a fighting champion, and maybe one of the most credible champions that we have in AEW right now. So for him to put it up against Kyle Fletcher, you can put the Butcher, you can put the Blade in there, you know, all those mid-card talents, and gives everybody a payday here and puts them on the pay-per-view. So thumbs up on that. I'm about it. I'm a big Orange Cassidy fan, and so is my 7-year-old daughter. But I want to talk about Darby Allin as well, because that's not all we saw of him on Dynamite. As we have to talk about all the pillars that are going into this main event match at Double or Nothing, MJF versus Sammy Guevara versus Jungle Boy versus Darby Allin. Sammy Guevara had a squash match, essentially two moves, over a guy named Exodus Prime. What a name, by the way. And then he cuts a very babyface promo. He's like, oh, you know, I did all my wrestling and, you know, in Texas is where I grew up, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to give my best effort going into Double or Nothing and become the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. So, cool about that. I thought the crowd was very, like, mild for him in that spot, especially when he got on the microphone and stuff like that. But we did see Sammy later, but we talked about Darby Allin. Darby Allin had a backstage promo. He interrupts Sammy Guevara interrupts this promo, and you know, essentially it's just making it's gonna be three baby faces. It's saying like, oh yeah, we're all on the same side because we all have to be MJF. All right, let's shake hands and hug and stuff like that. So it's now three baby faces versus it's three baby faces in the match and one heel, and then other baby face was Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy did have a hard hitting match against Rouge. There was one spot in the match where I guess he tried to chop him, and Rus tried to check if he had the cojones to do so, and I have to give props to the camera guys for quickly trying to cut off of that, which was real strange and really, it was real weird. I was just like, really? I'm like, why would you do something like that on national television? But I digress. Jungle Boy picks up the victory here. Getting a quick roll-up on Rouge. Afterwards, you have LFI come and attack Jungle Boy, and then you have, as I said, in this main event match at Double or Nothing, it's three baby faces and one heel. So you have Darby come out. You have Sammy come out, who gets a bigger pop now than he did, you know, for his squash match. And, you know, they're all shaking hands, you know, may the best man win. And you see MJF in the back, and he's just not happy about it. Smacks the microphone out of Rene Paquette's hand. So it looks like, you know, MJF has been trying to work towards not having to do this match. In typical MJF form, you know, he tried to pay off Sammy Guevara early on in this program. The program is in this feud, and now it looks like he's got the odds stacked against him. Is he going to win? Absolutely, he's going to win. You know, he's MJF right now. As I said, the only person that's taking him of it is Adam Cole Bebe. And speaking of Adam Cole Bebe, I am going all out of order here because I'm just on it. Brandon's going to hate me for this. You had Adam Cole, who was unfortunately banned from the arena this week, as his friend Roderick Strong picked up a victory against Chris Jericho, the man that Adam Cole has been feuding with, but it wasn't inside the arena. It was outside the arena, so I think commentary did a very good job of playing this. He's like, oh, he's outside the arena, so he can do this. You know, there's nothing against it whatsoever. This match, though, I'm gonna play the bumper here because this was my match of the week.
Chris's match of the week.
Chris's match of the week.
I really enjoyed this match a lot. I thought it was fun, and I think this was a first-timer match. I liked... They did the ice cream spot where he smashes the ice cream and Roddy smashes the ice cream in Jericho's face and then he eats some. I thought that was fun. The ledge when they're going down the staircase, that whole spot was good too. There was one glaring thing that I did not like, which was the fact that, you know, there's this spot where Roderick Strong's about to suplex Jericho through a table, and then they start going into, oh yeah, we have the unfortunate news to let you know, you know, we send our condolences to the family of Billy Graham for passing away. No, that's not where you do that. I mean, yes, this is not my wrestling company, and this is not what I would do, but, like, that's a bad spot to do that, and whoever, like, thought it was an okay spot to do that, you should have, like, after the match, maybe came to the commentary table and said, you know, we've just heard about the passing of superstar Billy Graham, yada, 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 so on and so forth, because it kind of took away, because you're trying to pay attention to what they're saying, and then you got this high spot of someone going through a table. It didn't work out. Other than that, commentary aside, I thought the match was a lot of fun. I thought the end was, you could have said expected, But I thought it was a good way to kind of beef this feud up between Jericho, because, again, Adam Cole was not in the arena, so he was able to help, hit the boom, 1, 2, 3, Roderick Strong picks up his second victory in All Elite Wrestling. So, and continuing on the feud, Jericho, Adam Cole, Double or Nothing, it's going to be a great match. You had Triple J, Jeff Jarrett, and Jay Lethal picking up, not say picking up victory, it's just, that's what we always talk about, but they had a they were supposed to have an in-ring promo. They come out, and then FTR comes from behind, pushes Satnam Singh off the stage through two tables, and then a shakedown ensues. There's fighting, Jay Lethal's clothes got ripped off, they get into the ring, and they're about to beat down Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, but then who appears? None other than Karen Jarrett, making her, you could say, debut at All Elite Wrestling, low-blowing Dax Harwood, and now the heels get the upper hand. Satnam Singh, like, that's the one thing I didn't like about this, is, like, Satnam Singh just, like, comes running in. Guy got pushed off a stage onto two tables. I understand he's, like, 8 feet tall. You know, maybe it didn't, the fall didn't affect him as much. But you had, you know, Satnam Singh double chokeslam them, they got guitars over the head. The deck is stacked against FTR going into this match or Double or Nothing, and this kind of like solidified that even more. So it looks like, in my opinion, FTR will probably come out of this Double or Nothing still the AEW Tag Team Champions. But they're really doing a good job of like stacking the deck against FTR. So looking forward to that tag team match at Double or Nothing. You have the Outcasts defeating Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. This was supposed to be a triple threat match. It was supposed to be all the Outcasts versus Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Hikaru Shida. But they said because Jamie Hayter was medically disqualified tonight after the attacks recently by the Outcasts, it was going to be a tag team match. So Tony Storm and Ruby Soho picks up the victory with the help of a can of green spray paint as the referee was distracted, spraying it in Britt Baker's eyes and them picking up the victory. So heels on top here, but this wasn't the last we'd see of the Outcast, and more specifically Toni Storm, as later in the night she had a promo saying, you know, challenging Jamie Hayter to a match at Double or Nothing, which was then signed and ready to go. They did do a good job of saying, like, oh, Toni Storm has had 4 victories in the last 5 days, because they did have a couple of house shows over the weekend. I don't know the results to those, unfortunately. So, so Toni Storm is worthy of that. But here's, like, my question now is, it looks like Thunder Rosa is coming back. Thunder Rosa had to, unfortunately, she was the champion, and then Toni Storm took over as champion. Do we see Toni Storm win the title back at Double or Nothing, and Thunder Rosa just immediately is like, hey, guess what? I never lost my title. I'm going for it. And then Thunder Rosa, then what happens to Jamie Hayter? So we'll see. Continuing on with Rampage. And now I know why Brandon likes to go in chronological order, because I'm all over the place. I'm going to make sure that I didn't miss anything, because I don't want to get a text message saying, you missed this, you didn't talk about this, why didn't you do this? So anyway, let's talk about the ongoing feud between the BCC and the Elite. Last we saw on Rampage last week was Don Callis taking a screwdriver to Kenny Omega's head. We thought maybe he would be in cahoots with the BCC, but that's not the case. As at the end of the show, you have Don Callis come out and say, Kenny Omega's not the victim here. I'm the victim. Don Callis saying, I got Kenny to the Tokyo Dome. I got him against Okada. I got him against Jericho, blah, 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 which then leads Kenny Omega to come out, which then leads the Blackpool Combat Club to come out. And they said, oh, Kenny's all alone right now, because earlier in the night, you had the Young Bucks get attacked by the BCC. They, you know, they tried to ward them off as much as possible, and unfortunately, it was not successful. So you'd think, oh, Kenny Omega's all by himself. No, the Bucks come out and try to even the odds, and then you have the return of Hangman Adam Page sporting a sweet leather eye patch, and it looks like the Elite has reformed. The Elite, whatever you want to call them, they're back in the fold. All of them are on the same page, and they set up a match for Double or Nothing. It's going to be anarchy in the arena between the BCC and the Elite. Now, here's my question. What goes on with Konosuke Takeshita. He was a part of this. He got stabbed in the head with the screwdriver. Why would he come out to make the save? But I get it. It should be a fun, wild match, especially to put in, you know, on top of all the other matches they have going on for Double or Nothing. So that is it for Rampage. I thought it was a solid show. Set up a lot of stuff going into Double or Nothing, and we also got the official big news about AEW Collision. So that's it on that front. I already gave you my match of the week, and I liked the fact I just put it in there because, you know, it's something different here. We would not be remiss if we did not have Brandon's shoutouts.
Hey there, pal, it's me, Mickey Mouse, and you're listening to Brandon's shoutouts.
As Chris and I discussed briefly last week, the Muppets Mayhem is getting the first shoutout. The whole season's out on Disney Plus, and it stars Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, and it follows a record producer who is played by Lily Singh. She tries to get the band to finally release an album. And I think when the trailer was first released, I said that it gives off major Get Him to the Greek vibes with Jonah Hill and Russell Brand, based off of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And after watching this, I still feel the exact same thing. The soundtrack, I think, is great. Chris and I discussed that last week. Adam F. Goldberg is one of the creators. He created the Goldbergs. But I hope we get more seasons of this. I hope we get more Muppet content. A tour, obviously, would be, like, really nice. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but it would be really cool. Next up goes to School Spirits, which is a show on Paramount Plus that stars Peyton List as a teenager who is stuck in the afterlife, and she has to investigate her own disappearance and then just discovers more and more secrets about, I guess, the truths behind her disappearance. It kind of reminds me of 13 Reasons Why, but I would definitely say check it out. And then my final shout out, normally I would probably put this in the Markout Moment of the Week category, but I'm not actually here this week, so I'll give it a shout out. WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. I feel like I'm speaking about this weekly with the Markout Moments, but I thought it was really cool to see DDP and Mick Foley searching for some of Macho Man's items together, because DDP and Cactus Jack were a kind of short-lived tag team in WCW, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then also they had Molly Holly searching for Macho Man items. She was Miss Madness, so I thought that was cool that they included her. I feel like they maybe could have added her, like, giving some sort of Miss Madness outfit or something to WWE to display for whatever reasons, I guess access at this point. But all in all, I thought it was really cool, and I hope this show gets picked up for a lot of seasons as well. But those are my shout-outs.
Thank you, Brandon, for your shout-outs. And now it's time for it. It's our
Markout Moment of the Week.
Markout Moment of the Week. Markout Moment of the Week. Do I have one? Don't I watch that much this week? You know, I did mark out for the newest addition to the Micro Brawler family, and that is Black Machismo Jay Lethal. I popped for that huge, really cool. I was a big Black Machismo fan back in the day. I think I still have the shirt upstairs in my attic, but my Micro Brawler collection, isn't to what it was a couple of years ago, so I'm going to pass on that. But it's still cool that they're making something, and now we get to finally see a Black Machismo figure in some sort of capacity.
Markout Moment of the Week for me was definitely attending Create a Pro Wrestling Homecoming. Getting to see that homecoming with MJF, hearing that crowd just give him that standing ovation and everything. Getting to see Raven, it was just such an amazing time. So going to Creative Pro Wrestling was my markout moment of the week.
So that's it. Markout moment of the week was that. Nothing really else fun and exciting. So that wraps up a short and sweet episode of Marking Out 641. Next week, everybody will be back in the fold, I think. Maybe not Dave, not too sure. But got to thank everybody. It was a collective effort on this podcast. You know, Dave hopefully doing that thing about Creator Pro. And Brandon, obviously, you know, giving us some Raw and talking about superstar Billy Graham. Until next week, you can follow us on social media on Facebook at Marking Out, Twitter.com/Marking Out, YouTube and Instagram.com/Marking Out 11, TikTok at Marking Out. You can buy our merchandise, ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out. And you can email us at markingout1@gmail.com. So next week, we'll talk about SmackDown. We'll talk about Rampage. We got Double or Nothing coming up. And I also want to run down the card for FWF5, which I will be in attendance for. It's Memorial Day weekend next weekend. And as of right now, there's nothing on my schedule but FWF. So until next week, I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week. And good looks on the chocolate cake. I'm not out of room.